Good morning, everybody. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee to order. It's Monday, March 2nd, 2009, 6 minutes after 9 a.m. With me today is joined by co-chair Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson,
good morning.
Senator Huggins, Senator Thomas, and Senator Ellis was just here. He's at another meeting. He may join us later. His schedule's kind of tight. And we do have a quorum. We've got a couple pieces of business today we're going to work on. Again, we're back on the stimulus package for the federal government, how it is applicable to the state. We're going to change the order a little bit. There's only two items up. We're going to start with Senate Bill 124, which is authorization for economic stimulus participation. That'll probably be fairly brief. And then we'll go on to Senate Bill 123, transportation economic stimulus appropriations, which will be the process under which we continue to move forward. We will not be taking public testimony on these bills this morning. We will only be hearing from the administration, and then we're going to set both these bills aside. And there's going to be ample opportunity in the future to hear from the public and the communities, and we certainly encourage it, but quite frankly, right now, it's too far into the draft mode to stay too as on point as I'd like those public hearing meetings to be. Members should have on their desk a brown bill folder with SB 124, the authorization bill, and then a blue three-ring binder for Senate Bill 123, the appropriation bill. We decided to have our support staff include Senate Bill 123 in a binder, as it's more complicated, it's lengthier, and it'll probably get larger, and there may be substantial changes to it coming in the future, so we want to have or make it easy for the members to keep track of this process and answer their questions that their constituents may be asking them or our colleagues that don't sit on the finance table. So we'll start with Senate Bill 124, authorization for economic stimulus participation. And we have with us Deputy Commissioner of DOT Public Facilities in person, Mr. Richards, who's been here before numerous times. And he is covering for his boss, and he's enthusiastically waiting to come to the table and help us through this process. Mr. Richards, if you want to come forward. We also have in the audience several support staff for DOT, and they'll come up, you know, as needed.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Frank Richards, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, and I have with me today Mike Barnhill, Assistant Attorney General from the Department of Law, who will be here specifically to talk about SB 124.
Okay. So I'll let you, Mr. Barnhill, I guess, you're going to be the point man to
yes,
walk
sir.
Us through this bill and tell us what this, sure. tell the public what this bill does and why we should have an interest in it.
Okay. Mr. Chair, for the record, Mike Barnhill, Assistant Attorney General for the Department of Law. SB 124 is relatively straightforward. It does two basic things. First, it ensures that the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities has the authority needed under state law to participate in the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, otherwise known as the Economic Stimulus Bill. And that language is set out in Section 1D of the bill. The bill also has three sections of intent language, and the purposes of the intent language, Sections A and B, are to identify the sections of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act in which the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities will participate. And so in Section A, you can see reference to Division A, Title VI, of the economic stimulus bill, and then it explicitly identifies each of the sub-agencies of the U.S. Department of Transportation to which the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities would apply for funding under the economic stimulus bill. And then in Section B, it identifies Division A, Title 12 of the economic stimulus bill, and the agencies to which DOTPUF would apply to the U.S. Department of Transportation for funding. Finally, in Section C, we note that under Title 12, particularly with respect to the Federal Aviation Administration, there we just want the legislature to recognize and acknowledge that the FAA has some discretion in the manner in which it doles out funds. So that's the bill, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Timeline, when you feel that action needs to be taken, or a signature, I guess, needs to be on this by the administration?
As soon as possible, Mr. Chair. We actually began working on Friday with the governor's certification required under Section 1511 of the economic stimulus bill, and I think we anticipate making the governor's certification as early as mid-March, and then funds would flow, I think, immediately. In fact, I believe funds are ready to flow Wednesday.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. Federal Highway Administration has identified to us that the funds are ready to flow to us as soon as we provide that certification.
Okay. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know the legislature, many different members have said that we are interested in applying for all the funds that are available. And in Section C, on page 2, line 14, it says, seek the to maximize the funding available. And I know that there has been discussion in the press and throughout the building on what we may or may not apply for. And I was wondering, since in section B and C you talk about it is the intent of the legislature, who did you talk to in the legislature to come up with this intent?
I spoke with no one in the legislature. I just phrased the intent language as the legislature normally phrases intent language. But through the chair, I should say that it is the intent, I believe, of the administration to maximize applying for and receiving funding under Title VI and Title 12 of the economic stimulus bill. The only thing we're putting you on notice is the fact that the FAA has some discretion in the manner in which it doles out funds. That's something we don't have control over.
Senator Hoffman, further follow-up?
Just to find out who they're talking to, if they talk to no one. I was under the impression that we were going to communicate and have this open dialogue so that we can work more closely together, and that, I guess that's my intent.
And if we could back up, and then we'll go to Senator Huggins, but if we could back up a little bit to the previous question is of when action needs to be taken, and I understand the point that action on this bill should be taken by some people immediately, feel that it should be done immediately. We still need to know when the deadline dates are. Clearly, if we take action a year from now, it's different than if we take action in 2 weeks. So we need to have a more definitive drop-dead timeline so we make sure we don't make any inadvertent errors when we deal with this this issue.
Mr. Chair, there's a variety of deadlines set forth in the economic stimulus bill for the governor to certify certain things. For instance, under 1607 of the economic stimulus bill, the governor has 45 days to certify with respect to use of the funds. That's, I believe, April 3rd. There's another deadline that's on March 19th. We're going to do everything we can from the administration's perspective to meet those deadlines for governor certification. So far as I know, there isn't any particular deadline for the legislature set forth in the bill. There is some debate as to whether under 1607, which does provide for a backstop legislative certification, whether the 45-day deadline applies to the legislature, and I believe that an opinion has been sought from the Federal Office of Management and Budget on that. But at this point, I have no deadline to report to you for the legislature's action.
Okay, and if you could define what Title VI and Title XII is for the folks at home?
You bet. Title VI is Homeland Security, and Title XII is Transportation, U.S. Department of Transportation.
Okay, and then on these, I guess we need to clear up this process as far as the timelines, and I recognize it's kind of challenging. We were under the impression, some of us in the legislature, that we could take some action after the governor's deadline date. But there was also another email that came into the office saying our deadline date may be the same date as the governor's deadline dates.
Mr. Chair, that was the discussion I just referenced with the opinion being sought from the Federal Office of Management and Budget. You know, I think there's a lot of fairly frenetic activity right now all across the country with respect to deadlines, and we're working daily to identify what is a true deadline and what is a untrue deadline.
And then you plan on getting back to the committee then on these deadlines when you clear them up so we
what I can tell you right now is what I just have told you, Mr. Chair, and that is the governor has certain deadlines. I know of no deadlines for the legislature.
Okay. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Mr. Barnhill, you appear to have gotten up on the wrong side of the bed today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I wish we could restart this conversation. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you. I'm offended, to be quite frank. So I'd like to speak to people in positive terms. Use the term phonetic activity. That didn't happen too much in Wasilla, I don't think. What does that mean?
Frenetic. There's a lot of activity through the chair, Senator Huggins, all across the country. We're seeing emails daily about whether there's something that's due in terms of certifications. We saw a whole host of emails last Friday about a possible deadline tomorrow. Ultimately, we determined that was misinformed information. We had emails over the weekend about a possible deadline yesterday. We determined that was misinformed. So when I say use the word frenetic, it was not intended in any way to be offensive. It was just merely characteristic, descriptive of what's going on. There's a lot of activity out there.
Yeah, thank you. And
go ahead, Senator
Huggins. I guess I'll use a mild term. I was surprised when you said you hadn't talked to anyone in the legislature. I mean, to be quite frank, I mean, we work for the same people. It's called Alaskans. And one of the things that some of us, I mean, I could speak for myself, are encouraging that the legislature and the administration and people who work for the administration work together. Because as you mentioned about phonetic activity, there is a lot of it. And the only way that we can, in fact, get this about right is that you and I and some of these people sitting around the table have phonetic activity. Because, I mean, it's changing. And if we don't do that, we're going to be confused. And if we try to rush through the process, we're going to not get it right. And we've got to get this about 95% correct. So, I mean, I make myself available to you. I think it's probably more appropriate for the co-chairs, but I think it's important for us to work together because it's for the benefit of Alaskans. And I would just ask us to do that. So I will jump back very quickly, if I might, Mr. Chairman, the not later than time that you see this having to be, this piece of legislation having to be approved, not later than time.
I think I'll let Mr. Richards speak to that. And maybe I could just say for the record, Mr. Chair, I'm simply the draftsman on this. I have no authority to speak for the administration or to negotiate with the legislature on this bill. I'm simply the draftsman.
Yeah, no, understand. And we're trying to develop a rapport here to work together going forward, because I mean I think it's important for us to work together. So that's why I say we need a positive relationship, and I'm working on developing that right now. That's my technique.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, in regards to the timeline, what DOT must do under the stimulus bill is obligate at least 50% of the transportation funds to us within 120 days of enactment. That date, I believe, is June 15th of this year. That means that we've got to have those projects worked, developed, authorized with the Federal Highway Administration to go out and solicit bids for those projects so that we're able to get Alaskans to work. When we talk about working with the legislature, I know DOT has been out in communicating with the legislature. We've communicated with this body previously, and it is the intent of the administration to truly work and have dialogue with the legislature so that we can all understand this bill that has been placed upon us. We are still learning the nuances as we are now almost 2 weeks after the enactment of what all it contains. So activities are occurring pretty much around the clock. We have folks working 7 days a week, many, many hours a day to try and understand and maximize for Alaska what funding will be available for us for transportation.
So they're not later than?
At least 50% of the money must be obligated by June 15th of 2009, and all of the funds must be obligated by February 17th of 2010.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
No, go ahead.
If I might. This is a phase, and it essentially talks about you maximizing funding available to the state. So you do that with going back to the federal government. Then the question about the next phase, we now have our allocation, and you're working on that. Can you walk us through the process, the legislative involvement after that phase?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins. What we currently know of are the funding formulas coming down to us through Federal Highway, Federal Aviation, and Federal Transit. There are other discretionary programs within the bill that the criteria for which are now being developed by the Office of the Secretary of Transportation at USDOT. What those programs are ultimately going to be and what criteria are going to be used to determine which projects will be available for funds such as for states like Alaska to compete for, we're still waiting to see what the federal government comes out with. So it'll be at that point when we have more certainty, knowing from the Office of the Secretary of Transportation and if there are other discretionary pots that Alaska may be able to apply for, how we're going to be able to move forward with and then be able to communicate to the legislature on what those pots are.
Do you have another follow-up?
Yeah, no, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To Mr. Barnhill, I was under the impression that the governor can apply for funds, and then if we don't apply for those, if we don't agree with those, then we can apply. So I was wondering why this bill, it seems as though that the intent was that we would see the administration and the governor's office apply for funds, and we would look at those and make a decision and decide whether or not we wanted to, as a legislature, apply for a different set of appropriations. And the other question, I guess, that I have to you is, this is the authorization for the Department of Transportation, Public Facilities. Do you see other departments, such as Health and Social Services, asking for, or the administration asking for, a resolution for them to for us to apply for those funds? Or what is the relationship here with the stimulus package? Is the administration going to apply for funds, or is it the intent that the administration look to the legislature to apply for those funds?
Through the chair, my understanding is that with this bill is the intent of the administration to apply for all available funds that are available to the state under Title VI and Title XII of the Economic Stimulus Bill.
And again, redefine 6 and 12 for the
six is Homeland Security, 12 is transportation. And with respect to your, I'm sorry.
Senator Hoffman, do you have a?
No, I'm just wondering, you know, when we're looking at this, it says it's the intent of the legislature to apply for these, that the department apply for these funds. And I was, just my cursory review of the stimulus package was that the governor applies and then we make a determination and then we decide whether or not we want to apply. And I guess with this, if the legislature passed this legislation, would we still have the authority to apply for projects that we deemed fit?
Through the chair, I think, Senator Hoffman, what you're referring to is Section 1607, which I refer to as the backstop authorization section, and that requires the governor to certify by April 3rd that she's going to apply for and use funds available under the economic stimulus bill. If the governor doesn't do that, the backstop authorization gives the legislature the authority to certify that it will apply for and use the funds. But I don't know that that's triggered unless the governor decides not to apply for everything. And under this bill, with respect to those sections, the governor is going to apply for everything available.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And then Senator Huggins and Senator Thomas.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Barnhill, we see this legislation and we see that it, you know, gets the authorization to DOT. What other techniques would work?
Yeah, through the chair, and that's a good segue into Senator Hoffman's second question, which is this only applies to DOT. There's a variety of other agencies, and we're working on drafting bills for those agencies so that they can have the authority, to the extent they need it, to apply for the other funding sources in the bill. The objective, ultimately, is to have a suite of bills, if you will cover the entire economic stimulus bill. As you know, it's a pretty, you know, there's 16 titles in Division A that cover a whole host of governmental activity and funding. So the thought was we would start with a discrete bit, one that's has a fair amount of funding in it, and get that before you so we can begin the discussion on the legislation. But I anticipate relatively quickly there will be a series of additional bills that will cover the authority for funding for other agencies of the state. In terms of other ways to do it, well, we could do it in one fell swoop. We could have brought a bigger bill with more agencies and more funding. But sometimes it's easier to take little smaller steps than bigger steps right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Just let me just ask Mr. Barnhill, and then I'll go to your follow-up. When you, whoever, I guess, puts the governor's bills together for her, which I don't think have been very, very many, we would like to have some backup information included in the packet versus just the bill. Because the way the bill's set up is we've got a whole section for backup, and there's nothing there. So part of the challenge we have, you know, when we do our bill work, is when we get a bill with just that, and we have a zero fiscal note on the bill, and there's no backup. So it just leads to a whole litany of questions that may be able to be answered in just submitting backup. So I'd just encourage the department to include backup. And for instance, one of the backups documents that should have been in here was the governor's timeline on her action, very clearly laid out in this process. And I understand your response earlier that, you know, you don't see that there's a deadline for the legislature's action, but we still need to know the administrative timeline so we don't inadvertently put the other branch of government behind the eight ball, because we have a lot of other things we're working on also. Senator Huggins, if you could do your follow-up, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Barnhill, I guess my thought is sort of spring-loaded to, you know, how they do it in Alabama, New Jersey, or North Dakota. I don't know the answer to that. Now, I know in the legislature we're trying to tap into the Council of State Governments to see some of that. But did you check with any other states about what techniques they're using? And I'm not saying this is a bad one. I'm just trying to – sometimes reinventing the wheel may not be the best technique to go forward.
I believe early on in the process, someone in my office made an inquiry with the National Association of Attorneys General to see if there was some pattern emerging with respect to how states were implementing it. And the response I got back was that at least at that point, they did not know of anything. That was a couple weeks ago. It's very possible, Senator Huggins, that something has emerged as a more uniform way of implementing this.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just, Mr. Chairman, I would just request that the next time we meet on this, that we can have the conversation expanded to what just techniques that other states are using, which may be a little bit better than ours. Maybe they looked at what we're doing and modified it, whatever the case may be, but so that we have some idea, because there's at least 50 other, or 50 some, I would assume, based on the protectorates that are involved. But thank you very much.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Barnhill?
Just through the chair, we do know that, and we did get, I think, last week, a fairly extensive list of not what states are doing in legislation, but the various types of task forces that states are putting together. I think we can provide that if you don't already have it. I think there's a list of about 26 states in that particular document.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And those were some of the questions I had. And so with that understanding, we can expect other bills like this that will refer to the other titles, education, health and social services, military spending, all that. We can expect those. And I did have one question on the what I thought was a critical deadline was 30 days from an enactment, which is at the 19th, March 19th, that you refer to, and what is required as of that date? Could clarify that for us.
What's the 30-day deadline is?
That's in the certification. That was the initial certification for transportation.
That's the 1511?
I believe, yes.
Yeah. The 30-day deadline is the Section 1511 certification that the governor or the head executive of the Department of Transportation needs to make. And I believe what it requires is certification of maintenance of effort.
Yes.
That the state will continue to maintain effort with respect to expenditure of funds. And is there another requirement there? I should have brought that, but you know, I have a little memo on all of the deadlines for the governor, and we can put that in the backup for you.
That would be helpful. And if I just follow up, and that concept is that certification also indicated that the state will follow up on all of those projects, assigning people to take care of the certification that everything is happening and the reporting back of the money as it's being used and all of that. Is that correct? That's that specific certification is contained within that first one that had to mean 30 days from the enactment of the law?
Just so we provide absolutely accurate information, today we'll provide you a listing of all of the deadlines and
okay.
What they require.
Okay. And, yeah, that takes care of it. Thank you.
Senator Olson, you have a question?
Actually, the only question I have, Mr. Chairman, is we look at this bill and the my understanding of this bill is only it gives the authorization to the department to go ahead and apply for the funding, correct? And it doesn't authorize the department to go ahead and start spending that money.
There's a companion bill through the chair that is the appropriation of the monies that they would receive.
You're talking about SB 123?
Yes, sir.
That's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You know, Mr. Barnum, if I understand your earlier comments when we started off, that you're the drafter and, you know, don't shoot the messenger. And that there was, you know, you don't have the ability to speak for the administration. So is there anybody here that can speak for the administration on this bill? It's an administration bill.
Mr. Chairman, Karen Rayfield, the Director of Office Management and Budget, was going to be here, but I am told that she has been delayed due to a flight out of Seattle. And I'm not sure if there's anyone here from OMB that can speak for them. So
okay. We'll try to, as we did with this bill, we made an effort once we had the bill in our possession to get it scheduled immediately at the table here. And, you know, we were concerned that there was no backup information delivered with the bill, which generally we would take no action at all on a bill with no backup. In fact, we would, with our colleagues, we would send them a little memo informing them that inappropriate a way to do business, and it needs to be rectified before any committee hearing is going to take place. So I would just ask that the other administration bills concerning the stimulus have adequate backup and have somebody from the administration here to act on behalf of the administration when we have questions. Otherwise, we're not going to schedule the bills.
Understood, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Do we have any, Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The final question, I guess, to Mr. Barnhill is that in your reading of the act, is this is this Senate bill required in order for the state of Alaska to proceed to receive the funds under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act?
Through the chair, it's a good question. I think that this bill is an exercise of due caution to ensure that the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities has explicit authorization to participate, so that down the line, no one has any questions about whether they had authority to go and apply for the funds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think we'll work on some clarification between now and the next meeting on that particular issue. We have any other questions? We have any closing comments from the drafter?
One question. Mr. Chairman, if I may clarify Senator Thomas's question on the maintenance of effort. Again, the bill contained the requirement for governor certification, and that's really that the governor certify the state will maintain planned state transportation funding. And so we take that to be our existing current year budget amount. We're working through the next year's budget amount, so that hasn't yet been enacted. So it is that we will certify that we will not supplant previous project monies, such as general fund dollars, with the new economic stimulus package funds. So it is that we will proceed forward as we had planned and not use these monies to supplant those other general funds.
Senator Thomas?
When you say that, you mean that you will not supplant 09 budget, but you will supplant 010? Is that what?
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, it is, say we have Project X and it had $2 million of general fund dollars assigned to it, appropriated to it by the legislature. It is that we will not extract that $2 million of general fund, use $2 million of stimulus fund, and proceed with that project. It is that we'll proceed as originally planned with that project effort. The FY10 budget is part of the discussion that we're going through with this body, and we'll be looking to see what legislative authority is provided to us as the projects work through the process.
Maybe then a little later we could get a better understanding of how that works, because if they were shovel-ready projects, I thought that the money could be used, but you would forward the state's money already allocated to another project and guarantee that it was obviously going to be spent, that you just had to track that. But maybe now's not the time to deal with that one right here at this point, and maybe after we get on to the next area of concern.
Right, I think in the next bill we'll talk about the maintenance effort and how it's applicable to GF and our general funds and how some of this stuff interties amongst itself. Any final questions? Okay, any closing comments? Okay. Thank you for bringing this bill forward. We're going to set it aside. Now I'm going to move on to Senate Bill 123, Transportation Economic Stimulus Appropriations. And with us today, we have Mr. Richards, all primed and ready to go. I'll let you, Mr. Richards, go ahead. And I see Nancy Slagle has joined us, Director of Administrative Services for DOT. I'll let Mr. Richards, I'll let you go forward and kind of walk us through this bill, most of which is not new to the committee as far as in concept. But I'll let you go ahead and walk us through, and then we'll take questions. And again, we're not going to have a public hearing on this bill We're going to take public a public hearing at a later time after some internal discussion.
Mr. Chairman, thank you again. For the record, my name is Frank Richards, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. I have Nancy Slagle, our Director of Administrative Services, here with me to help explain the bill. But before I go, I guess I would like to take just a few moments to pretty much frame the what we now see that the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act is providing to Alaska for transportation. Essentially, the funds that are being provided to us will be with the greatest intent are to create jobs, and that means getting the projects out on the street so that we can address needed transportation investment assets, but to put Alaskans to work so that they will then gain the benefit of the funds and be able to have those funds within Alaska and helping Alaskan families. So the stimulus funds that we now see coming to Alaska through the formula programs are for aviation, highway, bridge, and transit projects. In round numbers, we see about $175 million for highways, approximately $42 million for transit, and approximately $85 million for aviation. We've been working diligently with our federal funding partners to maximize the potential use of these funds for Alaskans. Funding for highways and transit will be provided to us through our regular formula programs, where aviation funding, as described earlier, will go directly to the FAA for discretionary allocation. Congress, while crafting the stimulus bill, created a lot of expectations out there across America about easy access and use of the transportation funds. However, the funds from the bill flow through the regular formula programs that come down through the federal modal agencies. And with them come all the mandatory processes and rules and regulations within. To access the funds must have been developed under Title 23 rules. Funds will flow through the DOT. At least 50% of the funds must be obligated within 120 days. That's the June 15th deadline that I spoke to earlier. That means we have 104 days left from the time of enactment to make sure that those funds are obligated, or we will lose those funds to another state. That's the use it or lose it provision that was within the bill. The remaining funds must be obligated by 1 year after enactment. That's February 17th, 2010. The funds specifically for the highway and transit program come to us with an allocation defined by the bill, 3% of which goes to transportation enhancement projects. Those are pullouts, wayside, and bike paths. 19% must flow to communities of less than 5,000. 11% must flow to communities of greater than 200,000. This is that is specifically designated by formula within U.S. code. And the remaining 67% will flow to state roads, highways, and bridges. The one final requirement is that all the projects must be in a current STIP. That's the Statewide Transportation Improvement Program. We now have Amendment Number 18 out for public comment and asking community members, legislature, and the general public to comment on those projects that are out there and shown for construction funds. These provisions create a very great challenge for all of us to accomplish in a very shortened time frame. We must follow these guidelines or not, and so that we don't lose access to the funds for Alaskan. Essentially, Congress has mandated that funds be spent on projects that have previously been developed following the federal rules. The universe of projects that we felt would meet these rules are within the bill, SB 123. This represents about $330 million of highway projects, projects that have previously been in front of the legislative body for legislative authority to proceed. We developed prioritization criteria so that we could look at the universe of projects and come up with a priority list. We looked specifically at whether the projects were focused on addressing safety issues. We looked to see that the projects were located in economically distressed areas, because again, this was an emphasis area of the bill that funds be spent in economically distressed parts of the nation. This is areas where the unemployment rate is 1 percentage point higher than the national average. We look to see that the project would provide gas line logistics benefits, and we look to see if the projects would leverage other funds. And then lastly, we looked to see if we could actually get the projects under construction and work underway within 2009. In the letter that the department sent to you, Mr. Chairman, last week, we identified the universe of projects and provided you with a spreadsheet that identified the priorities for the recommended projects as well as contingency projects following the criteria that I just mentioned. SB 123 contains several appropriations with individual project allocations. The governor's priorities are included in the highway and bridge stimulus project list, and then there is also a contingent list, which is also eligible projects that could use the economic stimulus. One unfortunate consequence of the stimulus bill was use of the 1991 formula for allocation of what is termed local funding. Alaska has been exempt from this formula since 1991. Under the local roads formula, funds are allocated to communities of greater than 200,000 and to communities of less than 5,000. Then there is a determination of whether or not there is funding that meets 110% of the funding that may be remaining could be then be spent on other communities between 5,000 and 200,000 if the funding level met 110% of the 1991 allocation to those particular communities. Unfortunately, Alaska is the only state that did not have the ability, based on that formula, to allocate projects under this category of funding specifically to those communities, such as Fairbanks, Ketchikan, Juneau, Palmer, and Wasilla.
And Sitka.
Not all of the funding will flow through the state stimulus. Specifically under transit, $42 million has been designated for Alaska. $32.5 million will go directly to the Anchorage Metropolitan Planning Organization and the Fairbanks Metropolitan Planning Organization. That is specific under the rules of the bill. Also with aviation, $85 million is allocated likely for Alaska. The FAA will make the determination of where that money is spent. Portions of it will be given to what's known as local sponsors. Those are non-state-owned airports, such as the city of Juneau and Anchorage in their Merrill Field. As identified, we still have STIP Amendment 18 out for comment, and I urge committee members as well as community members to make known their comments as that STIP is out there. We are learning from communities that they may have projects that they believe are eligible for use of these funds. It is contingent. It is imperative that we have that dialogue with those communities so that we know truly if they are will meet the requirements of Title 23. We would be glad to discuss those projects with those communities as they're brought forward. The challenge will be if those projects are not previously or on the current STIP, then we don't have the authority under the federal rules to provide funding for them, and it would require us to essentially do another STIP amendment.
Right. If you could, Mr. Richards, if I could just stop there just briefly for the people in the communities that are watching. Give us a 30-second spin-up on how this communication process between DOT and the communities is going to take place.
Well, Mr. Chairman, over the last week, we have been approached by two communities that I'm aware of that have said, we have eligible projects and we want to access the economic stimulus. It will be contingent on the department staff communicating with those communities to identify what are the projects, what processes did you follow in order to do your environmental document, your design documents, and do you have right-of-way certification that follows the Uniform Certification Act requirements. That will take time for us as to have that communication. Conversely, they could ask specifically with the Federal Highway Administration if they have had communications with them on project eligibility. But the funds through the bill flow down through the DOT, so they must ultimately be part of the State Transportation Improvement Program. So it will take a good amount of communication. Staff is currently working, as I mentioned earlier, extremely hard to make sure that we have projects that are out there and eligible to receive the funds. We are continuing through with the project preparation to get us to that point, based on whatever the appropriations bill will end up with as to which projects are selected by the legislature to use these funds.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correctly, then the communities need to be proactive and get a hold of DOT. They need to recognize that one of their projects or more, one or more of their projects may fit under these guidelines, and they need to get a hold of DOT. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, yes, that is what I would suggest. Otherwise, we have no way of knowing about the project otherwise, unless they're brought to us by a legislator or a community member.
And then is DOT going to assist with some kind of a decision tree or some kind of matrix to help those communities, or how do you perceive that process?
A good question, Mr. Chairman. We've actually developed a matrix tree that I was going to share with committee staff to identify, to provide to communities so that they would have an understanding of what processes they must follow or have followed to have a project that is eligible. I'll be able to provide that to project staff today.
And then one other quick point of clarification before we get rolling. There is some confusion within our communities as far as how many dollars we're actually dealing with. So could you just briefly in a synopsis form not talk about, in answering the question, not talking about contingent projects, but projects that can actually get funded and put on the street, which is a whole different ball game than waiting in line for federal funds. Is that not around 175?
Mr. Chairman, million? Correctly, for highway and bridges, the amounts that we have available to us under the stimulus bill is 175,461,000.
Okay, because when we as a committee look at how we want to do our project list, there's a definite interest in looking at real dollars and not funds that may not be used from another state arriving here in some future date. That's another discussion. So we're looking at 175.5 million rounded off for those at home as far as getting highways and bridge money out into our communities and putting people to work.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Again, regarding the use it or lose it provision, where we as a state would be able to access other state funds, it's again whether or not those states are able to obligate at least 50% of their allocation within this first 120 days. If not, then those funds will be swept back and then redistributed to other states that have projects that can truly be obligated at that point immediately.
Right. We work that subject every year when we do a capital budget. Federal receipt authority versus cash in hand to move a project forward. And there's a big difference, and we're interested in moving projects forward here.
Mr. Chairman, also under the transit funding, we have available approximately $9.1 million that will come through the state DOT for transit projects. Okay. Those projects we had identified in the bill with three specific projects, but as I go down through the project list, we can identify each of those projects. Would that meet the chair's intent in today's discussion?
Briefly touch on them if you want. I'm interested in kind of mainly as well we're on the subject is the macro overview so people at home could follow, because there was a news release from the administration talking about several hundred more million dollars than actual projects that were going to hit the street, receipt authority versus cash in hand. So we've got 175.5 for highways and bridges. We got 9.1 for transit.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. And then on the aviation side, we believe that the FAA will be providing approximately $75 million worth of projects under the discretionary funds that they are allocated as part of the bill.
And I recognize that there is amendments coming in. There's some interest that the Federal Aviation has as far as which projects are going to be done. And so we'll work with that. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With the guidelines that we have here, Mr. Richards, I don't see a delineation of the 3% that's for transportation enhancement, and those that for the 30% for the areas as delineated in this letter, and which ones are the 67%. Do you have those broken down of which ones, when you looked at this category, which ones fell into that category, which of these appropriations fall into those categories because those are required by law, or you just went, how did you go through the getting your list here?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, as part of the February 20th letter to Senator Stedman, we included a spreadsheet, a colored spreadsheet that looks like this. On that spreadsheet identified the projects that were identified as stimulus recommended. Under that spreadsheet, there are transit dollars identified, transportation enhancement dollars identified, local and state. Each of the projects is then funded under one of the categories that is shown as 2009 stimulus funds needed. The specific transportation enhancement projects are on the bottom of page one, which are currently recommended: the Valdez area-wide bike and ped trail pavement refurbishment, and the Denali Highway wayside project. On page two are the transit projects, where we had three projects totaling approximately $9 million.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Could we maybe back up a little bit and talk about this STIP project or process, and how long has five major number one category items, five priority key, the top on page one of the document you sent out a couple weeks ago, listing the Dalton Highway, the first two, one at $29 million, one at $26.3 million, then Parks Highway, Alaska Highway, and Central Region Rut Repair. How long have they been on the STIP, and when was the last STIP process dealing with those? If you can give us a synopsis on those.
Through the chair, I don't, I would probably look at the individual project descriptions in the bill that would give me an indication of when they were possibly first showed up on the STIP. It'll take me a second to look through this listing to determine that, or I can possibly ask Jeff Otteson, who is the STIP master.
He could maybe dig through there and come up later and answer that. I'm just kind of curious on that process. And then if we were to modify the STIP to deal with these community projects, what kind of a time frame do we have? How do you see that? I think there's one in Senator Hoffman's district. How do you see that fitting into the timeline as we go forward?
Mr. Chairman, the process that the Federal Highway Administration procedures now require us, that if we are going to have a new project that is going to be funded with federal funds, is that we have to now do a entire STIP amendment. And with that amendment process comes specific public comment period, which the total from initiation of that STIP amendment to sign off by not only Federal Highways but to the Federal Transit Authority is approximately 90 days. And that's an aggressive schedule. That's the 90-day schedule that we currently have out. We believe we will be able to accomplish amendment number 18, which includes the funding cycle for the projects that have been identified in SB 123 for construction funds. If new projects are brought forward that actually meet the requirements for use of the stimulus funds, it would require us to essentially draft a new STIP amendment and start that process soon thereafter.
Okay. Go ahead and continue. Hopefully I'm not discombobulating your presentation too much, stopping you with questions, but.
And not at all, Mr. Chairman. We're here as, if you'd like us to walk through the projects listed on here. We start with the aviation projects and then move into transit and highway.
We could spend 20 minutes or so walking through them if you'd like.
Okay, well, I In the order of the bill, we'll start with aviation, and I'll ask Christine Klein, Deputy Commissioner for the Department, to come up and specifically talk about aviation projects.
Before we get
Hoffman?
Before we get there, Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering, in looking at your allocation recommendations here on the state of Alaska's 67%, it says that they're available for any area of the state of Alaska. And when I'm looking at the appropriations, it seems as though that they're very concentrated, and it would seem to me that you would have taken the opportunity to utilize these funds to give some equity throughout the state of Alaska in projects, but that appears to be not the case, and I was wondering why that is.
Mr. Chairman, through the chair, Senator Hoffman, we, as we talked previously, the versions of the bill, both the House and the Senate, were giving us vastly different numbers, and we were looking for good, equitable distribution across the state. We developed project lists, again, that universe of projects that could likely be utilized the funds and meet the intent that Congress has put onto the states for use of these funds, especially economic distress area. We, in developing our prioritization factors and criteria, felt we had put forward a reasonable set of criteria that would allow, give us some prioritization and use to meet the needs of, for Alaska's transportation across the state. The unfortunate news that we received last Friday that with the local funds could not be used in communities between the populations of 5,000 and 200,000 threw a wrench in the works. Truly, we had a different list of projects that included those projects in those communities, and we had to react quickly to meet that new guideline that Congress had provided for us and the interpretation from the Federal Highway Administration. When we developed the project list that you now have in SB 123, we felt that we had met the intent of Congress, that we were meeting the intent of providing for safety, we were meeting the intent of providing for jobs in economically distressed area, and we were providing for what we felt was fair, equitable distribution across the state. But in the list of contingent projects that is also out there are a vast number of projects that also meet that same criteria, but from our perspective didn't meet the prioritization factors that we had developed. And so we are here today to talk about the projects and be able to listen to the legislature, because ultimately you all will be selecting the projects that are funded through the
How did you develop your project prioritization that you just mentioned? What process did you go through? Because again, we come back to, for the people watching at home, it's we're looking at roughly $260 million, with $75 million in aviation, $9.1 in transit, $175.5 rounded off bridge money, which is a far cry from $461 million in the administration's news release. And quite frankly, as a representative of 30,000 people, there's a big difference between receipt authority and cash on hand to do a project. And you know, we again do this capital budget every year here, and a good way of getting an allocation and not getting anything done is get federal receipt authority versus getting GF or general funds or other state funds cash. And when we look at the allocation of projects around the state, we're looking at cash on hand that we can actually put forward, not federal receipt authority that may not come due, because we have a leveling process we have to do in here. And the issue that Senator Hoffman brought up as far as equity, there's $109 million, roughly, that's a number, 109.3 of those four or five number one priorities takes a big bite out of the 175 million. So we're not, from a perspective of the probability of what projects are going forward, but a fairly small probability that the, and every one of us will probably assign a little different one, and you might assign a substantially larger one, that the other states are not going to consume their allotted allocation like we are. So I don't want to bet the farm of money coming that may not materialize. I want to see what we have on the table. Senator Thomas.
And as we go through, thank you, Mr. Chairman, possibly you could give us a feel for your the prioritization criteria in regards to how close something needed to be to a particular area to actually be considered a stimulus for that particular area, what you used to do that. Obviously, in some places, if it's situated right in downtown, that obviously would be very relevant criteria that it sat right in the middle of it. But if it's hundreds of miles away from a particular area, if you considered that was and in the middle of nowhere, such as the projects we're talking about on the Dalton Highway, how that was intended to be a stimulus for a specific area, or if it was intended to stimulate the state, statewide basis, that kind of thing. So,
through the chair, Senator Thomas would be glad to talk about the prioritization factors on individual projects. I would note, Mr. Chairman, that we also included in our presentation in the letter a list of projects that we had previously identified as eligible for use of the stimulus funds when we thought that the timeline was going to be 18 months, to obligate within 18 months. But when Congress condensed that timeline back to 12 months, unfortunately, that dropped off some of those projects that we had previously felt would be eligible. And those are in the last page of the spreadsheet that were provided in the letter to you.
So you're referencing page 2 and page 3?
Mr. Chairman, it would be page 4. Just because when we were previously here, we identified a universe of projects for use of the funds that was larger than you previously have in front of you. Wanted to identify to you why those projects fell off the list, which was primarily because of the timeline condensing from 18 months down to 12 months to obligate.
So to make it fairly straightforward, we have that allocation of 67% to the state, so the committee members could look on page 1, 2, and 3 and find projects that are stimulus contingent and stimulus recommended to select to bring forward to the committee what projects they want to see go forward?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Okay. These are the projects that are in SB 123.
Right. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Richards, for that testimony. I guess the problem that I have is that the administration came up and made some decisions of what she felt that we needed to spend the funds on in the stimulus package. And then the criteria came down afterward, and without modifying the initial package to the criteria, the administration just took the decision that she had made earlier and fit them all into the 67%, which gives us, the state of Alaska, the flexibility to spend the money anywhere we want to, but the decision was made early, and there was no flexibility, and because that was the early decision, in order to accomplish what the governor wanted to do in her initial package, the only place that it would fit is in the area of the discretionary, which is the 67%, the largest allocation, and that's why those dollars got all sucked up into that area. You know, the concern that I have is that there are other conditions that needed to be taken into consideration when we're making this decision, which is the high unemployment that you'd mentioned, equity in the state of Alaska, and several other categories. But none of those were utilized when you came up with how to decide to spend the 67%, because the decision, as I said earlier, was made prior to this allocation, and it sort of, if you wanted to accomplish what you wanted to get done, your hands were tied and you had to go and spend all the funds in the 67% in the discretionary. And I guess from a standpoint of, as a legislator, looking at what the stimulus package needs to accomplish is we need to go back to those other conditions of unemployment and what jobs are going to be provided and try to fill in equity throughout the state of Alaska in jobs, because for one, there is no equity when our hands are tied, and the only way we can get this package that the governor wanted is to use all of the discretionary funds. And I guess I wonder if you might comment with that. Do you think that this package is representative and treats all Alaskans fairly when it comes to the stimulus package in DOT, in getting jobs out to where they're needed in the state?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, when we look at the projects that we had identified as the governor's priority under the stimulus recommended, that represent, of those projects, the funds would flow, approximately 60% of the funds would flow to areas of that have been deemed economic distress. So we felt that we were truly meeting the intent of Congress to provide jobs in areas within the state of Alaska that fall under that category.
And on that point, I wish I could get those projects that you feel that fit that criteria, the 60%.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, it's truly on that spreadsheet that we provided for you, where we've identified the areas under the prioritization factor that serves economic distress, that column right there. In regards to the statement about whether or not the projects that we have under the governor's recommended list provides for equitable distribution across the state, it's a multifaceted question. Because Alaska has the ability to use the funds on all community, on all roads within the state, under our regular federal funding formula, we have now seen a major reduction in the ability to use national highway system funds. Those are the mainline highways, the Glen Highway, the Parks Highway, the Dalton, the Elliott, the Rich, that have and serve the vast majority of the state, but don't really serve any particular community. So there aren't necessarily advocacy groups out there. That level of funding, 10 years ago, we were able to do approximately 12 projects a year. But now, when the funding in our normal program is about $75 million a year, that means we're only able to do two or three projects a year. That category of highway is underfunded under a normal program. What you see in the governor's recommended bill is, again, the top priorities are, again, on those national highway system assets that have not had sufficient funds over the last few years to be able to address needed safety and other related issues. We felt that the projects that we put forward and the governor identified to Congress when asked specifically what she felt were priorities for economic stimulus, we addressed truly that national highway system funds or national highway system assets, because we felt that those were the assets that have some of the highest needs around the state and aren't getting the funding to be able to do that. What this does for us, though, is if these projects are selected by the legislature to fund, will allow other funds and other projects within the STIP to advance and be funded with next year's money. So this is a great benefit to the state in the use of federal funds that we see coming down the pipeline, because we've had this huge bulge out there of project needs, but not necessarily the construction funds to be able to do that. This fund that Congress is providing to us will address some of those needs and allow other projects in smaller communities around the state to be addressed.
And we'll get to Senator Hoffman's question here just a second, just because what I'm hearing the department say is that the administration, have a very high degree of assurance that these contingent projects are going to move forward and be funded. And we shouldn't be so concerned about which is the first group and which are the contingent group, because they're most likely going to be taken care of. Is that not correct?
Mr. Chairman, we have, based on the current level of federal highway program that we have in 2009 and likely in 2010, we feel that with the economic stimulus, we'll be able to address these projects on both the recommended and contingent projects in the near term.
So then, that begs the question, why would the administration get so concerned if we rearrange that list? if they're all going to get done in the end, we can certainly not be concerned about which is rated priority list and contingent list. We could come together collectively as the appropriating body, put forward a list, and the rest of them will default out to contingent and then be funded in the future.
Mr. Chairman, our goal was to be able to present projects that would provide or would meet the eligibility requirements of the bill. And we've been asked previously to provide prioritization of our projects, and in that, this regard, that's what we did.
Senator Hoffman.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The problem with that is that you're telling me that, you know, some parts of the state, it's going to free up the list next year. Some parts of the state are going to be concentrated on next year. So you guys can go ahead and wait, but this is our package and we're proceeding with it. You know, and but there is not going to be a stimulus package next year, and that is not going to be the criteria that that I think the department is going to utilize, the same criteria that the stimulus package has. Next year, we're going to go back to the basic program and utilize whatever criteria that's been utilized before, but it's not going to be, well, this project is going to create jobs and this is an economically depressed area, so we're going to put money there. That's not going to be a requirement next year. So how can you say that, well, those areas are going to be taken care of next year when those aren't the requirements that we're going to have to follow?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, as we identified on, again, on the spreadsheet, we identified those projects that were going to be able to be constructed in 2009. Congress placed emphasis, the president placed emphasis on creation of jobs and getting work underway. That's why you'll see many, if not all of the, most of the projects that we identified under recommended as projects that, that could be under construction in 2009. On the contingent list, conversely, it's that those projects could be obligated within the 1 year time frame. And it's a few of the projects that could be turning dirt in 2009. So it was that determination of trying to meet the intent of Congress to provide for jobs in 2009 and some jobs in 2010. When we look at the issue of economic stimulus versus regular STIP funds, it's again, those projects are in the pipeline. They've been in the pipeline, they are ready to go to construction, and we'll have construction funds coming to us next year.
Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I'm fully aware of that, but prior to that, you had said that the projects that in other areas of state can be addressed next year. That was your testimony at this table, and we can probably have it restated again, but or read back, but the problem is the criteria that we're going to utilize next year isn't going to be the criteria that we're utilizing today, and we can't guarantee that those projects are going to come forward and bubble up to the top because it isn't going to be areas that are economically depressed. It isn't areas that that create jobs as a stimulus package does. So if they're not addressed today, I don't know that we can use that same criteria. Or are you going to use that same criteria in the 2011 budget? I guess that's the question, because that's what you're alluding to.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, two questions there. The first one is about the use of funds in next year's STIP. Because we are going to be taking major projects out of the pipeline, that will free up, as I said previously, funds for construction in 2010. For us to be able to actually go out and bid projects, we are going to be looking for projects to fund. We are going to be taking truly the vast majority of on-the-shelf projects off the shelf and funding them. That is going to mean that we're going to be looking to provide funds to construction projects that are ready to go so that we'll be able to continue to advance and meet the infrastructure needs within Alaska. That process right now, the 2010 through 2013 STIP, is out for public comment concurrently with our STIP amendment. We're asking community members, we're asking the public, we're asking the legislature to look at the existing criteria that we are using to rank those projects. If you have an opinion that you'd like to see that those rankings change to something different, please identify it to us. We will soon, as The schedule for the STIP ranking for the next 2010 through 2013 program will be soon after the legislative session ends in April, and we'll invite you to be able to come to the table, as I heard previously, that the legislature would like to participate or see how we rank and score our projects.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The problem, I guess, that I have is that we have the stimulus package, and we have the rules and regulations, and when I'm looking at the package, I need to feel that the stimulus package that we have is going to stimulate jobs throughout the state of Alaska, because we are not going to have another stimulus package next year. And unless I see that there's some equity, particularly in those areas of the state that have some of the highest unemployment rates, I'm not comfortable with that, you know, because we're getting one chance. You know, everybody in the state of Alaska wants to stimulate their areas of the state. But when we take 67% of the funds and the prioritization was made several months ago, and then we get the criteria afterwards, and none of those projects change, it leads me to believe that some areas of the state are not going to get a fair crack at stimulus money, and therefore they are not going to get jobs. And as a result of that, what can we do to change that at this table? You and I know that there are areas of the state in Senator Olson's district at Imanak that are crying for jobs so that they can pay their heating bills, so they can put food on the table. But in this package, I don't see that the people of Monarch are going to have a fair crack at any of these dollars.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, actually, Monarch is part of the governor's recommended community roads upgrade and resurfacing.
I see that for $4 million. Now Kotlik and the other communities that are out in Western Alaska. What about them? I know that there's a bridge project in Kagiganuk, I believe, but these are very sparse compared to the population and unemployment.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Frank, if you remember back during the summer, there was about $130 million that was on the table that DOT was saying, we've got to have this money now because, trust us, we got to go to work. And the co-chairs were wise enough to come back to the regular session. And now, as I see it, those projects are, generally speaking, in the stimulus package. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, Senator Huggins, that is correct.
Thank you. Which our sage co-chairs saved us again. But let's go to the next step in that we talked about there won't be a stimulus package next year. But, you know, it's interesting that we think of the federal government, they're going to stimulate the economy of Alaska. Has the administration looked at the capital budget and says, do we have a responsibility to stimulate the economy? And have, at least at a minimum, to look at what the stimulus package is and look at the capital budget and see if there are some things that should be moved around in the capital budget, because there we do have flexibility. And your organization has some flexibility. Could, but a different conversation, because the capital budget was put together before the stimulus package. Does that make sense?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, yes, it makes sense. And if I understand your question, whether or not the administration has looked to see if there were ways to potentially stimulate the economy using state funds. And I believe that the amendments that we have put forward for the capital budget are the governor's plan that will help in addressing the needs for transportation.
So could you give me some examples in DOT, the ones that meet that criteria? And while you're looking for those, Mr. Chairman, just to follow up, just as a matter of education for me, there are some projects that fall within the criteria of highway safety corridors. when you look at the STIP process and the criticality to the state, does highway safety corridors have any bearing on the criteria of what gets pushed forward and what doesn't?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, yes, indeed they do. Highway safety corridors, as you know, in your district on the Parks Highway, is areas where we have got high traffic incidents, fatalities, and we've put in place then what we feel are interim steps in order to try and address that until we're able to build out. The challenge that we have with, say, the Parks Highway from Wasilla to Big Lake is the cost of that project alone is about $100 million, $125 million if you throw in the interchange at Big Lake. So that in and of itself is a fairly large project to be able to put forward, especially when you're looking at if we talk about economic stimulus, that could consume nearly three quarters of the available funds for one project. But again, under economic stimulus, it had to be to the point where we could actually start turning dirt. So in that regard, that safety corridor project didn't meet the initial cut.
Thank you. Okay, thank you on that. And the former question?
I'm going to ask Nancy to help me out on the 2010.
And that's okay. You give it to me later. It doesn't necessarily be. It's an interest I have just to see what you're doing. We could give it to the chairman.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Richards, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like the mentality for the federal stimulus money that was out there was to go ahead and create jobs. And as you look at the distribution of the money that's there, $175 million for highways, bridge, that's in that budget. As you buy a bridge, those jobs aren't going to be here in Alaska. You're going to buy steel from someplace else. It may be not even be in this country. And what I guess I see is, and I don't feel comfortable, make me feel comfortable if there is a way to do that, there seems to be a maldistribution of $175 million going to highways and bridges and only $75 million going to aviation. In this state where aviation is such a necessity for life and limb, and in the Wade Hampton district that I represent that needs to go ahead and have those jobs, it seems like the aviation area would be getting they're getting less than half the money that's there that the highways are getting. It would seem like in order to go ahead and create more jobs, you'd have those going toward the aviation section as opposed to the surface transportation.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I agree with you. Unfortunately, under that, we didn't get the compromise in the final bill that we had hoped for. The House version of the bill had approximately $200+ million coming to Alaska for aviation. And the Senate version was a lower number. The compromise is what we get, and that unfortunately is a smaller dollar amount for aviation. And again, it's going to be the continued communication for us to with the FAA to show them the needs for aviation out in western Alaska and southwest Alaska, where the folks rely on that as their primary transportation mechanism.
One final question, Mr. Chairman. Can you define for me what aviation funding is going to be used for? Is it going to be used for airports, for the Capstone project, for taxiways, or what exactly is it going to be used for? Or what's the distribution?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I'll ask Christine Klein to come up and be able to identify the projects that...
Well, she can, whenever the chairman's ready, she can go ahead and come in and do it right now.
Okay.
Senator Huggins?
Yes. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Frank, the railroad. I don't see anything in here on the railroad, and you're the transportation guy. That is a transportation mechanism. We've talked about integrating and synchronizing. Where would a caring Alaskan go to look at, see where the railroad is involved in this process?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, the railroad is eligible to receive funds under the transit funding. So of the $42 million that the state will receive, 32 plus will be going to Anchorage and Fairbanks. Fairbanks gets $760,000 out of that $32 million for transit. The remainder goes to Anchorage, where it's distributed again by a formula that favors the Alaska Railroad. Approximately 80% of that funding going to Anchorage will flow to the Alaska Railroad for transit-related projects. they receive that allocation based on the ridership that they have on, in their passenger trains. So that's where the railroad will be getting a defined amount of money through the transit funding. They also have the opportunity to apply for discretionary funds that the Office of the Secretary of Transportation is now writing the criteria for. That was $1.5 billion funding level that was set by the bill that the Office of the Secretary of Transportation has the discretion to create criteria to evaluate projects that are of national significance. So once that criteria is developed, we within DOT are working cooperatively with the railroad to look at what projects may be may provide joint benefit, not only to the railroad but to the state surface transportation assets, to be able to possibly go forward and apply jointly for some of that $1.5 billion. So that's one specific pot of money that I know that they can apply for. There may be others that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ellis.
Good morning, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Port of Anchorage is located in my district and affects most of the state, and I was wondering if you could tell the committee where the Port of Anchorage stacks up in the priority list.
Through the chair, Senator Ellis, right now the Port of Anchorage is, again, available for that discretionary pot of money that I just spoke about. It's yet to be determined which project will be selected, but that will come in the future. We do not have any Port of Anchorage money within the governor's SB 123.
And did you, if I could follow up, Mr. Chairman, did you debate that? Was that a possibility that was rejected, or how did that come about? What was the process that led to, you know, one of the most important development projects that's shovel ready not to be on her list initially?
Through the chair, Senator Ellis, what we identified in SB 123 were essentially the highway and bridge and transit projects that we have had in the pipeline within DOT available for funding. So it's projects that we have previously received legislative authority for, that we've used federal highway dollars to design and permit, so that it was those list of projects that we currently have within our program to be able to move forward for highway funding.
Maybe we can bring up Mr. Klein from the airports. If you could spin the committee up on the rules and the process for non-state airports.
Certainly. My name is Christine Klein. I'm the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Transportation for Airports and Aviation. And what I will do is give you a quick overview. The Federal Aviation Administration rules are slightly different for that mode of transportation. And the funds, as mentioned earlier, we thought there would be additional funding, but under the formula, the $1.1 billion that was allocated to all states in the United States basically equates to 7.7% for Alaska based on the number of airports that we have, because we are the largest aviation system in the United States. Of that $85 million, it is distributed based on FAA's criteria under the discretionary program that is dictated by federal law, and that is projects that contribute most to safety, security, aviation capacity, and efficiency of that state's airport system. It also looks at airport activity levels, whether you have a medium hub airport, small hub airport, non-hub, and commercial service. In Alaska, we have the largest airports we have are medium hub. They also looked at the priority level of work based on the work that was already being done by the state for its state-operated airports, or state private airports or municipal airports, what work they already had going on underway. They discounted routine and preventative maintenance work because that is a responsibility of the state in acquiring or obtaining federal funds. It's part of the grant assurances that you're responsible for maintenance. And so projects that were brought forward or even ready to go that could be helpful are not eligible if they are viewed as routine preventative maintenance. Airports that have any letters of compliance or compliance actions on them also are ineligible. And the last item is that it is FAA's discretion under the discretionary type program that we could potentially receive funding under. The airports that were approximately $10 million that will go to municipal airports such as Merrill Field, Kenai Airport, Juneau Airport, and there are several others, Palmer and Wasilla. Basically, those airports that get their grant applications in first will get the funding. And that brings us back to which projects the DOT has ready and available, bid ready for construction to basically get under grant as soon as possible. And most of those rules were already outlined to you. They have to be obligated within 120 days, and the projects themselves have to be constructed and completed within 2 years. That's the basic framework that we're working within for aviation.
Okay. Any questions on the aviation? I want to back up a little bit and just there's a couple of earlier questions that kind of ties in with aviation, but the Port of Anchorage and railroad integration and into this process, and also the expansion of those two facilities. We all hope, pray that we're going to get a major gas line coming in some 10 or 15 years. But regardless of what happens with the gas line, we're definitely going to have the Port of Anchorage shipping in most of our goods. And it would be nice when we go forward to have projects that are going to benefit the state for multi-generations. It is not a question, it's just a statement. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Ms. Klein, if I heard you correctly, the $200 million or so in deferred maintenance for airports, you say are ineligible for the stimulus package?
Maintenance and operation type projects typically are not eligible under the discretionary formula, and it is actually laid out in federal law that they are not. And the reason is that under the federal regulation, it says that that is the obligation of the state or the airport sponsor, correct?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In SB 123, you've got 45.6, and that is approximately half. Is that there's another 40 million or so that is set aside for some other particular projects, or just these are all you were able to identify at this time? But you did mention some of the, like Merrill Field and others like that. Are those the ones that this remaining money is set aside for, or is some of that still to come for general, all kinds of other general aviation projects?
We actually have $104 million worth of projects that we could potentially have ready to go. The $45.6 million that is on your sheet and in the bill is actually the legislative authority that we would need from our legislature in order to finish the projects themselves. You have previously seen all of the projects over the last year or two for them to even be shovel ready. You would have approved in the past us to accept federal money to do the permitting, the design, and the planning, and that's why these projects are available and ready to go.
So how much is remaining? I think I might have missed the number. You had 7.1% of a billion something and left 80 some million for the state of Alaska. Is that what you said?
88 million, I believe.
88 million. So that remainder, that 43 million or so, is projects that we will see coming forward soon. Is that the plan? Or am I missing something?
The projects that we are proposing to move ahead, or the group of projects, would be Accu-Chek, Allakaket, Fairbanks International Airport Access Control, Fort Yukon Airport Improvements, Puna Airport Improvements, Kodiak Chemical Storage Building, Kotzebue Apron Expansion, Uzinki Airport Relocation, Cordova Apron, Anchorage International Airport, North Terminal Gate N8, and Lake Louise Runway Rehabilitation. There is a list of all the projects. The list basically comes up to about $104 million, and while there's about 77 available, we would need, if you approve the projects, we would still need $45.6 million in legislative authorization. In other words, you've seen the projects, some of them before, but they were in the queue in the past few years. But to bring them to completion, we would need that particular additional legislative authority to move ahead.
If we could just maybe stop there just for a brief minute. In our binders, and under aviation, the first page is yellow. Format's changed a little bit. The yellow's got an amendment on it. The second page down, page 101, because they both say page 101, but the white page is before the amendments came in on Friday. So the yellow page is a repeat, and I think you were working off of the white, with the 104 total instead of the 122. Okay. So we're all on the same page. We're working off the yellow, because it's got two amendments.
Yes, on Friday evening, FAA also asked us to put forward, and again, the criteria and FAA's discretion, they're still determining some of the final criteria, but they asked us to put forward Hooslea and Lake Louise that weren't on the weren't as high on the list as they had been earlier.
Okay. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we look at Lake Louise in particular, it's called a rehabilitation project. In looking at the airport and the deferred maintenance throughout the state, what's the difference between a rehabilitation project and, the maintenance or deferred maintenance, because it is so large?
It usually comes down to how much work has to be done and what the value, dollar value, would be on that. If it's something that's going to take a significant amount of time and materials, several months to basically reconstruct or fill large areas of the airport safety or runway, it becomes a reconstruction project. And that's what Lake Louise is at this point.
Oh, rehabilitation project, you mean?
Correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did you mean
King Salmon?
King Salmon and
Cordova.
And Cordova, not Lake Louise.
King Salmon was another one that was added. King Salmon apron and resurfacing, taxiway resurfacing.
The King Salmon and the
Hooslea
were the two amendments.
Weren't those the amendments Friday?
Those were the two amendments that were done over the weekend, I believe, or on Friday, because of FAA's change in their criteria, what projects they wanted to see moved forward. Okay. This is a somewhat collaborative process, because FAA does dictate which projects they will fund.
We're trying to have a collaborative process here, too. But we won't dictate.
Who are they collaborating with?
Yeah.
Well,
now, if we could, well, we still have a few minutes. I noticed in the bill there's well, there's several appropriations, but basically there's appropriations, and then within the appropriation there's all kinds of allocations. And for those watching at home, we as the appropriating body in the legislature appropriate, and then we have allocations, which the department has some flexibility with, but not a lot of flexibility with appropriations. So why, maybe you can take a minute or two and convince the committee why we should give such broad appropriation a lot of allocations versus shrinking our appropriation numbers down and having DOT then either interact with the finance committees during sessions and or LBNA when we're out of session to deal with whatever you may deal with as far as trying to move project A and B around or what other issues you may have financially.
Mr. Chairman, the appropriations that you have in front of you pretty much designated by airport stimulus projects, transit stimulus projects, and then highway and bridge stimulus projects.
Right.
So the reason we structure that is more is so that they're very similar to our annual capital budget appropriations for our highway program. Within then a program, you have the ability for funds to be able to be used within the projects themselves. If we had individual appropriations by project, we would have the challenge that we have faced when we have a general funded project, for instance, where a set amount of dollars is appropriated, we go out and bid, the bid comes in high, and we don't have the ability to go forward with that project until we're able to come back to the legislature the next legislative cycle and ask for additional monies to be able to proceed with that project. That gives us then the flexibility under this stringent timeline that Congress has placed on us to be able to have the ability to utilize the funds within the appropriation for the various projects. With the federal economic stimulus funds and the new fund source change that we're proposing, we need to have the flexibility to be able to utilize those funds within that appropriation to cover potential cost increases on those individual allocations if project costs come in higher than anticipated.
So if we look at the highway and bridge stimulus contingent projects, there's $139.97 in there, almost $139 million, 21 projects. So you feel it's not appropriate then for the finance committee to look at possibly taking that appropriation number down and breaking it into compartments, or we should just give you carte blanche flexibility on the $139 million?
Mr. Chairman, it's not complete flexibility. These projects have been through the public process. They've been in front of the legislature previously to gain legislative authority to be able to be designed for use of future federal dollars. We're now asking for the authority to use those federal dollars that are coming to us for the stimulus, from the stimulus package for these projects. It will really be up to the legislature is to determine the actual allocation within that appropriation.
There are 19 on, or 18 again. Out of the $148 million on the targeted ones, are non-contingent. So we'll work that out amongst ourselves as we go forward in the legislature, how we want to handle this bill and the broad authority requested by DOT and where our comfort level is.
Mr. Chairman, that'd be the main hatchet that we have over our head is, again, that 120-day obligation limit by June 15th. So that's where hopefully I make myself available 24/7 to be able to work with the committee to be able to address what those project needs may be from the legislative perspective. But we need to work within the funding parameters that Congress placed on us to meet those timelines. So we're here to work and with the legislature to address any of those questions that may arise.
You have anything else in the final minutes? Got about 5 minutes left.
Mr. Chairman, I would say that, again, this is a very, very dynamic process that we are working with our federal funding partners. As Christine just identified, it's right up as of Friday that the FAA was making changes to the project list that they were willing to fund. We are learning things throughout the bill from not only our federal highway and federal transit funding agencies, and we'll be glad to share that information with you as we see that there are pitfalls and hurdles that we must cross, or if there are any impacts to the existing projects that we have within the bill, either for recommended or contingent projects. So with that, we feel that the projects that we have in the bill are the universal projects that, from DOT's perspective, that we know about, that we can utilize the funds that are available to us for the transportation assets that we are charged to maintain and operate.
We haven't spoken, maybe in the last few minutes, we can talk a little bit about pages 8 and 9 of the bill. And I think we touched on it briefly a little earlier, but we can take page 8.
Or page 7.
Okay. There is no page 7. must have been a oversight, but anyway, we'll look at page 8.
Those are special projects.
Yeah, that happens from time to time, the copy error. Line 8, page 8, let's use as an example, and even on line 14, these are some appropriation issues back to 2001 and 2002. I think line 20 is 2003, and line 24 is 2004.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, this is Nancy.
If I could, before you answer, page 7 is at the end of the bill.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm Nancy Slagle, Director of Administrative Services for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. When the requirements of the congressional bill is very heavy in tracking of the activity that occurs with the funding that is being provided in the states. As part of that, a special funding source has been established to identify any funds received and expended from the federal economic stimulus bill. There are several of the projects that are being recommended that have previous federal authorization that you've provided in the past. Section 4 of this bill goes back and changes the fund source code for any appropriations that have been previously provided, changing it from the regular federal authorization or federal source code to the new federal economic stimulus fund source code. So that's basically what this section does.
Right. And I think we're looking at doing a process a little bit different to clean it up. We may just do some repealers and
there are options in how to deal with that. This is just one of the options that we had looked at as the potential for how to deal with those old appropriations. They certainly could have been repeal and reappropriation as a way of identifying those, or providing the full amount of the project costs with the new federal stimulus source code, and deleting old appropriations. There is a variety of ways that could have been used.
And we'll work with OMB and DOT how we go forward and do this, but we're going to, I think, clean it up to make it a little more transparent and make it easier as history goes, marches on, or time marches on, and this all becomes pages of the historical book of Alaska. People can look back and sort through these actions that we're doing. To me, it's a little confusing. And also, I think there's an interest when we have some time to go back. Some of these appropriations, I see this one of them goes back to 2001 and 2002 and 2003. But we've seen some stuff from DOT that goes back into the 80s. So I think we have some cleanup work to do, housekeeping to work together on to try to clean up some of that. And we'll work with you on that. That might be an interim type project from the scope of it. We've been summoned to the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a note, I guess, that since the department has been collaborating with the feds on airport projects, I'm looking forward to continued collaboration with the department on the total stimulus package.
Well, that concludes today's meeting. The Finance Committee will not be meeting the rest of the week due to the participation of several of our members at Energy Council. We will reconvene Monday morning at March 9th, 1 week from today. Next week's agenda will be posted later in the week. I'll be working on a draft on that, and we'll get that posted on Thursday. We'll welcome everybody back and see you in 1 week. Meeting adjourned.